Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature when utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature when decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com.
And we're off to a flying start. Host and producer gets the wrong cart loaded up, and that's just kind of where we've gone. Welcome to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on racesontheweb.com. I'm your host, TJ Buffenbarger, and another jam-packed show waiting for you. So whether you're listening live or via the podcast, thank you for tuning in. If you have any questions for us during the week for our guest or just about the show in general, whatever, TJ at TJSlideways.com, also on Facebook, the TJSlideways.com Facebook page. You can leave your question there. Also on Twitter, at TJ Slideways. People we have lined up for tonight's show include NCRA Sprint Car Feature winner this past weekend, Jeremy Campbell, now living in Kansas. We're going to talk to him about his move further into the Midwest and see what he's been up to. He's had a busy season after a couple of seasons with some light activity. And then we're going to have Sean Buckley on to talk about Follow the Corn. This is one of the neatest projects in open wheel racing we've seen in a long time, and Buckley's going documentary. He's got a 66-minute DVD coming out about 3 weeks. He's going to be talking about that. And also Jim Leisure is going to kick off our Racetrack Renaissance series. We're going to talk about the Spartan Speedway and sprint cars racing weekly on asphalt without wings. It's kind of a different concept. We're going to see how it came about, why it's working, and see what the future holds for the Spartan Sprint Car. So Jeremy Campbell, Sean Buckley, Jim Leisure, our guests tonight. And that leads us into
the latest dirt.
Activity starting to wind down in the racing season. Of course, the Sumar Classic this past weekend, Levi Jones picking up the win, but unfortunately, all of our thoughts with Shane Meal, who was seriously injured in a horrific track crash over at the Sumar Classic at the Terre Haute Action Track. Multiple neck and back fractures, among other injuries. Shane's over at Methodist Hospital in Indianapolis, and contacted Rotondo Wirich Racing yesterday. And if you want to send any well wishes, just cards or anything like that right now, because his family is kind of getting settled in for the long haul there in Indianapolis, you can send them right now to Rotondo Wirich, care of Shane Meal at P.O. Box 429, and that's at 681 Harleysville Pike in Ludrich, Pennsylvania, 19450. We're going to be posting that address after the show, but if you want to go ahead and send along a card or something, they're kind of relaying that to the family in Indianapolis. As we get updated information, we'll let you know. He did have another back surgery or another surgery yesterday and did some more repairs, and he's responding well to treatment, but this is obviously a long haul. This is a marathon and not a race, and want to send all of our best wishes out to the entire Meal family. And in other action, Tim Schaefer, he won again. Hoosier Fall Classic at Lawrenceburg Speedway, and Tim Schaefer has definitely racked up the cash this year. He is on a tear and continues that. It'll be interesting to see where he decides to race in the fall and what races he might pick off. Of course, there's the World Finals coming up along with a host of other races. What else can Tim Schaefer kind of clean up on before the end of the year? And meanwhile, on Sunday, Dale Blaney picked up the win over at Millstream Speedway. And then Friday night, we're heading to Kokomo Speedway. We're hitting the road again. We're going to be down at the Kokomo Speedway. We're going to feature some interviews and such from that event on Tuesday, next Tuesday's show. So we'll have the midget and sprint car winner from Kokomo on next Tuesday, along with whoever else we can kind of corner and see who we can get lined up on the show. So that's our short edition of
The Latest Dirt.
And we're going to roll right into the show. We come back, we're going to talk to Jeremy Campbell, Sean Buckley, and Jim Leisure. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit RaceMaxims.com and report any feature when utilizing a Maxim chassis on RaceMaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature when decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at RocketHeaders.com.
T.J. Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the
wheels
of Goodyear.
Welcome back to the T.J. Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com.
Welcome back to the Open Wheel Spectacular here on racesontheweb.com. And our first guest, feature winner this past weekend with the National Championship Racing Association, picked up a track championship this year after kind of appearing on milk cartons and everything else, moving and a whole bunch of stuff going on with Jeremy Campbell. Jeremy, congratulations on the win, the championship, and thanks for taking time out to join us tonight.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
So first of all, let's go back in time a little bit. You had just gotten off a racing family deal, and then you kind of went on hiatus. What happened there, and how did you end up in Kansas?
Well, pretty much at the end of 2007, we kind of ran out of money. That's when the economy dropped, our sponsorship dropped, and my dad's business dropped. And we pretty much had to sell out everything or pretty much sell it all back to the bank a little bit. And then 2008, drove for Ferkel there for a little while, just kind of get my feet wet and driving somebody else's car instead of my own stuff, because I've never done that before, and that was a real good experience. Me and him ran well pretty decent here and there. And then pretty much 2009, took the year off and only raced one time, and that was the World Finals down in Charlotte, North Carolina in November, low nine. And we did pretty good, mid first show, but just missed the second show. So, and then my girlfriend, Katie, people probably already know her, we finally got married out here in Kansas, and we bought a house out here because this is kind of where she's from. And I lived out here for like 3 years back in 2003 to 2005 because my crew chief lived out here. So we just kind of bought a house out here because I like the area and just kind of settled in a little bit and just kind of been living life.
And living life included getting back in the race car. What prompted you after the year off with just the one race to get back in the seat?
Well, somebody approached me and asked me if I wanted to drive the World Finals, and I was like, sure. You know, I've been out of the car for a while, but I was like, I'll drive anything, you know. So I went down there with him, and pretty much right at that first hot lap session, it felt like I was riding a bicycle again, you know. It just came right to me. Everything was all natural, and it just kind of felt like I was even smoother because I was actually thinking about things more. So it felt real good.
And then, of course, this year you get back to the car full-time, and you did some local racing. You ended up winning a track championship. Was that your goal at the beginning of the year, or did you just kind of fall into that deal?
Well, I wasn't really wanting to follow anything this year, but my father-in-law, Katie's dad, he used to race out here all the time on a bunch of track championships, but he got in a bad accident last year, so it took him out of the car for a while, and he's still sore right now, so he hasn't really been back in the car, but he helped me. Like, I still had some stuff left over from when I used to race back then, and pretty much me and him combined some parts together, like his motor, his wheels, and like the car was mine, and then his trailer, and we just kind of put something together, and I don't know, we just kind of seen what we could do, and sure enough, we actually pulled off a championship out of it and one win out of it, so it was pretty good.
And then you parlayed that into another ride, a very special ride at that, with Danny King. How did you get hooked up with Danny, and how did that deal come about?
Well, I guess Zach Chappell was driving his car last year, but they kind of split up. And then I guess Danny overheard that I moved to Kansas, and he called me up one day and asked me if I wanted to drive his car. And we kind of started talking and everything. I went out to Jet Moore and visited his shop and all that stuff, and you know, got to know him a little bit. And I actually put my seat in his car, and we showed up the first NCRA race, you know, and we did pretty strong. And you know, we just kept the whole year like that because I'm leading the points there right now, and I just picked up my win this past weekend, you know, so things are all starting to come together right now with that team. It was a little hairy at first, but everything's starting to come together, and we've been finishing top five and haven't even been out of top ten all the races. So
now you're leading NCRA points, and you mentioned picking up that win on Saturday. How big was that for your confidence being able to pick up a victory again?
Oh, that was awesome because there was over, like, almost 40 cars out there. We had Brian Brown out there, Jack Dover out there, Danny Jennings. There's a lot of fast guys out there, and it just like when I won that race, it just felt like it was just awesome. I can't explain how it felt. It was just amazing.
And a lot of people don't realize how tough the competition in the 360s is in the middle part of the country. Once you get about a little bit east or west of Iowa and Illinois and stuff between there and the coast, there's a lot of stellar 360s, and the competition is very difficult.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of big-name 360 drivers out here in the Midwest. You know, there's just the competition out here because they don't really have much 410 stuff out here, so a lot of it's 360, and there's just a lot of racing that you can do around here for a 360 motor, so there's a lot of fast guys around here in the Midwest.
And we mentioned going back, you started your career in the 360, but you did a lot of 410 racing with the Gunout Series and the All-Stars and the Outlaws. How hard was it to adjust coming back to the 360? Did it take you a couple races, or did you pick it up right away?
I kind of picked it up right away. You know, you just kind of got to drive with what you got, you know, and it's just, like, I just kind of noticed between the 360 and the 410 is just the power. Like, you can be, like, throwing it up in the cushion a little bit, but, you know, the 360 is actually bogged down a little bit more, and with the 410s, if you give it some gas, you can actually get out of it yourself in the 410s because you can just, like, have that horsepower to pull you out of the cushion. But, you know, it feels like it's got to be a little smoother driving these cars. You can't just be out of control because these cars just don't have that much power as a 410.
And what would it mean to pick up that NCRA championship?
Well, that'd be great. You know, I'd have two championships in 1 year, and I guess I guess I'm running for the rookie of the year too. I'm not really a rookie, but you know, I guess I haven't run these tours and run the local track before, so I guess I got to pick up the rookie of the year too. But it'd be in the world, you know, it'd be awesome just getting right back into it, and you know, and finishing strong and winning the championship. And I'm 85 points right now in front of Gary Lee Meyer, that's second in the NCAA points. So pretty much all I have to do next race is finish decent in the top 10, and I should have it covered.
That sounds like a good deal. Of course, we're talking to Jeremy Campbell. Jeremy, I wanted to go back in time a little bit. I want to talk about the Come Out series. That series produced a lot of drivers now that are running up in front of major series. You look at Jason Myers, he's getting ready to win a World of Outlaw Championship, possibly. He came out of that series. You look at Delansky and Wayne Johnson. Just the competition that came out of that series and the guys that were involved with it, with Ferkel kind of, you know, being running the series with the officials and stuff. How much did that tour contribute to your development as a driver?
Well, just with that tour, you know, Ted Johnson had a good thing going there for a while. It was pretty much like a Busch to a, or well, not Busch anymore, Nationwide to a Cup car, you know. It gave, like, the unexperienced drivers, like, somewhere to start, but still had good competition to compete with, but you were still also running, traveling around, and running on the big tracks. And then, you know, you have some events where you're combined with Outlaws, so, you know, you still have, you have a lot more stiffer, but, you know, what, like, just from racing with a lot stiffer competition, I've always gained a lot from, you know, just learning so much from all the fast guys. And that's probably where I learned a lot from, so.
Hey. And what was it, you know, working with Ferkel had to be kind of a trip too, and I'm sure maybe being on the Come Out tour helped you parlay that into getting into his car for a little while.
Yeah, Ferkel was, you know, it was good. He knows a lot and he has a lot of experience doing it. It was really nice running for him. You know, I learned a lot from him too on just like some little setup stuff here and there and just how he ran things. It was pretty nice. But he kind of went back to the old school setup a little bit too. And I wasn't really liking that because a lot of the old school setup likes him on the right rear, and I'm more like left and up, like it on the left rear, and just driving off that. So we had our differences there, but we worked through it, we worked out, and it all came together. So.
All righty, and I'm sure you got some people to thank to help make this year possible for you.
I like to thank Katie's dad for just, you know, getting my car together, Dwight Schrader, for letting me use his motor and his trailer and everything. And I like to thank Dana King and all his family just for letting me run their car and helping me support my racing habit. So.
Well, Jeremy, thanks for joining us tonight. Good luck winning that NCRA championship. Hopefully you can seal that up. And congratulations on the win in the track championship.
Yeah, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, that's Jeremy Campbell, and we've known Jeremy for a long time, and he's originally from this area in Michigan, and it's good to see him back in the seat and doing well again. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to have Sean Buckley on. We're going to talk about his documentary, Follow the Corn, and then we're also going to have Jim Leisure on to talk about one of the more interesting things that happened this year, non-wing sprint cars on the pavement bi-weekly at Spartan Speedway, and it was a success. We're going to find out why it was and why it's coming back next year. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular at racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and record any feature when utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Well, fun, frivolity, and creativity definitely follows my next guest around to the racetrack and whatever else he decides to do. And he's got a very exciting new project to talk about with us today. Follow the Corn, an upcoming documentary DVD on the Indiana Sprint Car season. Welcome to the show, Mr. Jack Slash himself, Sean Buckley. How are you doing tonight, Buck?
I'm doing really good. Thanks for having me. I'm actually sitting here in Indianapolis right now, actually at the RC Raceway. Me and a few friends actually come here often and race our sprint cars inside the carpet oval here. It's pretty cool. It's like, it's the second track. There's two of them here in Indy we go to. One of them's like, kind of like a scaled down Terre Haute. The other one's a scaled down kind of a Bloomington or Gas City, and we're running a little track, the Gas City Bloomington kind of track tonight. So it's a up and grind little track.
So we got RC cars, slot cars, sprint cars, pretty much everything you want to do in town there. You guys are always managing to do something. But the main purpose of you being here tonight is to talk about this really exciting new project you have, the Follow the Corn DVD, 66 minutes of sprint car racing in Indiana. But this is going to take a little different turn on this. Tell us kind of what the focus is going to be on this documentary and where it's going with this.
Well, I tell you what, this has been something that's been about, you know, 5 years, kind of in the, you know, inside my head. Always, you know, growing up in Southern California, being around a lot of industry people, movie industry people, that is, and, you know, my friends, a lot of people in that business being so close to Hollywood and growing up around them, I thought, you know, as a kid, if I could just ever marry the two together, you know, sprint cars and the film, the documentary style, whatever, you know, what a cool thing that would be. And for a long time, I really didn't have the resources. You know, I didn't have, you know, the money or the know-how or, you know, I was intimidated. You know, I didn't really, even though I loved the sport as a fan, I wasn't on the inside. And it took me a lot of years to get on the inside, to know all these guys and to have enough courage to go up there and have ask these guys and have them invite me into their world, you know. And I think, you know, yeah, I mean, as we mentioned before, you know, I don't want to do what everybody else is doing, obviously, and that's kind of what Jack Slash is all about. And you know, doing this project, I think sprint car racing, especially in Indiana, you know, it needs even more attention. I always tell everybody, you know, I'm just a fan and just trying to do my part, and that's kind of where it all we're going, you know.
And you're doing this. Tell us about the drivers the documentary's going to follow.
Okay, well. When I the first day I sat down and decided that, you know, we were going to do a documentary film about Indiana, not only sprint car racing, and, you know, you start with a long list, you know, who are you going to feature? Who are you going to, you know, showcase? And, you know, you don't want to leave anybody out, but at the same time, you need a good story, you know, and of course we want to put all the heroes, you know, the Dave Darlins, the John Standros, the kings of Indiana, you know, the superheroes of Indiana, not only cars. And, you know, when you get down that list and you make a small list, next thing you know, you've got about 3 to 5, 6 people that really are what you need to be concentrating on. And John Stamro is one of them. We have Jack Hewitt. We have some other local racers in there. Damian Gardner from California. He's kind of our California guy. And the whole purpose of this film is to really document and bring to the fans that don't know about Indiana Sprint Car Racing and don't really truly know, understand it, is why racers from California and all parts of the world come to Indiana. What is it about Indiana that makes the place so magical? And that's what we really try to capture, not only from the drivers that already live here, but the drivers that, you know, weren't from here that do come here to race. And I think, you know, that was the whole purpose, was to show how magical Indiana is and why it is what it is. Why do people come here?
And you're not a there by birthright. You were born in California, as you mentioned, and you moved out here. And you say, like I said, you're just a fan. You've got some experience, though. I mean, you haven't, you know, just totally been sitting up in the bleachers. You've done a lot of different things. But why did you move to Indiana?
Well, I moved to Indiana exactly why, you know, Damian Gardner and a lot of these guys did. You know, I came here in 1998 for Indiana Sprint Week, and the moment I got off the airplane, I fell in love with the place. You know, I mean, they had so many sprint cars. I'd never seen so many non-wing sprint cars and really so much green grass in the middle of the summertime in all my life. I mean, growing up in Southern California, there's no green grass in Southern California in the summer. It's all brown and dead and dry, and that's why they got a lot of fires, but, you know, Indiana had that green grass and something about it, you know, in the corn in the summer, all these cars, I just fell in love with it. And it wasn't until 5 or 6 years later I finally got my act together and made the move here officially in 2004. And I literally, you know, pinched myself every day thinking I did the right thing for myself. And my passion for Indiana sprint car racing and non-wing sprint car racing, I really wanted to put onto this project. You know, I really wanted to, you know, really kind of dig in deep a little bit and show people around the world and around the country what it's all about. You know, I think we captured that.
And going into that a little further, you mentioned that 98 sprint weeks, it seemed to be, that sprint week seemed to open a lot of doors to people coming here. A lot of guys got their feet wet here and ended up here after that sprint week.
Yeah, there was. You know, I mean, at that time, you know, the FCRA in Southern California was thriving. I mean, they had really good car counts. They were led by, at that time, Glenn Howard, and then later by Ronnie Schumann, who started the non-wing world championship. But yeah, you're right. You know, Corey Kruseman and, you know, so many guys, Jay Drake, and there were so many guys that came out there on that initial tour that pretty much the same thing happened to me. I mean, we all kind of came from California and came out here, and you're like, man, it's a magical place. You know, it's like Disneyland or the Midwest. You know, it's the happiest place on earth. You get to do what you want to do, live the life you want to live, and it doesn't have all the hustle bustle of the California lifestyle, the traffic, all the people, all the excess. You know, you come here, it's a beautiful life. There's four seasons and racing three and sometimes four nights a week, and it's just you can't go wrong.
Now, one thing I wanted to talk to you about that, there is a fourth season that involves quite a bit of snow and ice. How much of an adjustment was it for you as a transplant to get used to winter?
Well, the sprint car gods, the Indiana and sprint car gods, you know, I've heard a few people out there say, well, Buckley kid, he's got it easy, man. He got this, he got that. What people don't understand is I moved here in November of 2004. It wasn't the springtime. It was definitely November. And being from Southern California, from the beach and the palm trees, you know, there in Ventura, to move to Indiana, and I think that November of 2004 was one of the worst snows we had had, or Indiana had had at that time in a long time. And, I mean, there was 3-foot snow drifts all over the place, and I'm like, I don't know about this. And I didn't even see a green flag of action until late April of 2005. So I had to, you know, really learn quick that if you really want to move here to Indiana, you got to toughen up a little bit and you know, get in your car when it's 10 degrees outside, because not everybody can do that or want to.
And now, I mean, in hindsight, do you actually enjoy any part of winter, or is it still just a major drag?
Yeah, I enjoy the winter, especially around Chili Bowl time, and then pretty much when we go to Tucson for the Top Rock Dirt Race. But no, it's not that bad. I mean, there's a lot of days where, you know, it's not very fun. But you know, in the end of it all, there's two things about Indiana that's rough, and you know, it's one of them is the winter, and the other is just the dreadful summer humidity. You know, but given all of that, it's still all worth it, you know, because of the race and because of there's so many good drivers and good racers here.
And one more question on the move. Yeah, let's say some other young kid, driver or otherwise, is listening to this right now. He wants to make that move. He's on the West Coast. You've done it, and you're there now and successful. What would you tell that person that you wish you knew now, or wish you knew now that you, or that you know now that you wish you knew then before moving out here?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I kind of consider myself an old soul. My brother and I actually are kind of like that. You know, we got a lot of friends that are older, and I don't know. You know, I mean, I just think that the main objective here is, you know, to be passionate, you know, and follow your heart and do what you want to do. That's the whole purpose of this, you know. And I mean, I had my family, my parents beat me over the head with a stick all the time about, you know, going to college and doing things the right way. And I was just so stubborn. I'm like, no, I got a plan. I'm going to move to Indiana. I'm going to, you know, make videos and make a living in auto racing. And it's been tough, you know. I mean, it took me 10 years, you know, just to get to that, you know, to get the World of Outlaw gig a few years ago. And I, you know, and that kind of went away. But I feel exactly like a John Stambrell or a Dave Donlan, to be honest with you. I mean, this is not the soft story by any stretch, but I almost feel like I'm happy doing what I'm doing. Even though I'm not making a ton of money or whatever, I'm happy, you know, and I didn't really, I'm not going to point any fingers, but I'm not selling out. I'm not going somewhere, packing my bags and moving somewhere else just for the dough. I love sprint car racing, and, you know, and I know Darlin and the Stambos, those guys, you know, don't have a ton of money either, but they're going to be remembered forever for being two of the best sprint car drivers, not only in Indiana, but ever, period. And, you know, and even though I'm not a driver, I do, like to do positive things and entertain people, I guess.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. And so after that great sound bite, let's get back to the documentary here. What kind of time frame does this cover? Like, what time of year? Because obviously we're still racing at this point. I mean, you know, if you were going to do the whole racing season in Indiana and followed everything, like you said, Chili Bowl and Tucson, you'd have about 2 weeks to make this thing. So what time frame are we looking at during the DVD?
Well, basically, we started this project actually about 3 months ago. Our first shoot ever was, believe it or not, we did the movie's about Indiana sprint car racing, and actually the first day of shooting, we went to Waynesville, Ohio to track down Jack Hewitt. That's kind of the funny part about it. But it takes place, it's modern times. I mean, we shot like the last 3 months, and the guys, the people that we had picked, you know, we just basically, based on their availability, if they just happen to be at that track, we kind of charted out, you know, hey, where are you going to be Friday? Where are you going to be Saturday? They're like, well, I'm going to be at this track. Okay, well, we'll go there, we'll shoot this, or, you know, during the week of the shop, we'll go shoot that. And basically, the four, the five, six people that we chose to kind of talk to and kind of dig in and get them to open up. And the most important thing is that they tell us in their words. You know, that was important. I mean, we could have had, you know, me narrate the entire thing but I wanted the racers to tell the story in their words. What makes Indiana so great, you know, and all that stuff. And they did a really good job. I've shown the film to two people, and the two people that are in it, after they watched it, gave me the seal of approval. He said it was good. You know, I actually showed it to Stambrell and Damon Gardner. We kind of had a private little screening there, and I was actually pretty nervous about it, you know. You know, John, and, you know, when I don't really consider myself a quote-unquote artist, but, you know, when you do something creative and artistic, and you're a little bit leery of how people are going to react to it, you know, people are critical, people are opinionated, you know, and when John and Damian saw it, and they said, no, it was... We liked it. It was good. You did a good job. And that pretty much sealed it for me, knowing that's the first positive step. Now, if they like it, I'm sure everybody else is going to enjoy it, too.
And what else should people know about this if they want to order it? I mean, other than the ordering info, what else could you tell us that I haven't asked about yet that was really unique about this documentary?
Well, that's a good question. I actually I'm glad you asked that. But the main we kicked off the interview with that. And basically, this documentary film is about the personalities, okay? You know, if you buy this DVD and if you're expecting to see wheelies, flips, and crashes, and bicycles, and this and that, don't spend the $20. You know, if you want to learn about Indiana sprint car drivers, if you want to learn about their lifestyles, you really want to know, because 95% of the time, we just see guys going on the racetrack, you know, and if you're not on the inside and know these guys and know what's really going on, you're never really going to know who they are or anything like that, you know? So we really wanted to just show their personalities and just kind of have them tell us in their own words, you know, what Indiana sprint car racing is all about.
I always call them extraordinary people with regular personalities.
and it's funny, too, because I've been really lucky this year, you know, to be friends with John Stambrell. You know, we actually do race RC cars and stuff like that. And John's a very, very quiet person, very, very to himself and very focused at the racetrack. And that was one thing, you know, we put a teaser out of a preview trailer about 6 weeks ago on the web. It was just him. And people came up to me and asked me, like, man, how'd you get John Stambler to talk that long? And I said, well, I don't know, but he did. And I'm glad we were rolling tape because you said a lot of interesting things, but I'm excited about it, you know, and I'm glad that I've done a lot of projects over the last few years, and a lot of them didn't see the checkered flag, and this one definitely has seen the checkered flag, and I'm glad we saw this project all the way through, and I think people are really going to enjoy it.
And if people want to order it, how can they get their hands on it?
Well, there's all you got to do is go to jackslash.com, and at the top of the page it has a button there that says follow the corn, and it has a brief little expose, a description of the documentary film, and has the preview trailer there, and then a link there, a little buy now button to get the DVD, and the DVD will be out October 28th, and then expect about a 1 to 2 week delivery time, they're telling me, on the DVD from the release date. So I think people are really going to get their money's worth. There's a couple guys online that said, man, you're only charging $20. And I said, well, you know, the guy said, that's what guys usually charge us for an old, you know, track video, you know, of our heat race and our main event. I said, well, I can't really justify hammering a sprint car fan, you know, $30-$40. I mean, how can we do that? You know, this thing's got to be affordable and at the same time make sure people get their money's worth.
It's less than a pit pass, and it'll last your attention span, too. It looks like it's going to be a great package. Sean Buckley of Follow the Corn, go to jackslash.com, make sure to order it. This thing is going to be a great Christmas present. Heck, I doubt if you're going to be able to keep it around the wrapping paper for that long, you're going to want to break it out and watch it. So, Sean, I really appreciate you making time out from the RC Cars to talk to us tonight, and congratulations on getting this project done, and we're really looking forward to seeing it.
Yeah, I appreciate having us on here, and this wraps up night number two here of our little promotional tour we're doing for. We're actually leaving next Monday to go to California. We do have some more stops to make, kind of promoing the film, and we really appreciate all the support and everybody out there. You know, we kind of changed things around this year on Jack Slash, really kind of focusing in solely on Indiana, California, and Arizona, and Almond Sprint Cars, and it seems like it was the right move, getting rid of all the extra nonsense we've been doing for years. And I mean, it was definitely the right thing to do. So I want to thank everybody this year for all the support, you know, because we get a lot of good emails. Positivity.
Yeah, you'll get my plug always for jackslash.com for some great video views and one of the most creative guys in the sport. And you're always welcome to stop by and plug or talk about whatever you need to do, man.
Well, I appreciate it. And before I go, I just want to say get well, Shane Mill.
All right. Thank you. And we wish that, too. And thanks, Sean. And we'll see you later. That is Sean Buckley. Great way to finish, and man, I can't say enough about this guy. He is one of the hardest working guys I've met. You know, a lot of his viral videos and stuff, when you first watch him, it's kind of like, it was kind of outlandish and a little out there, but you could see the creativity right away, and now it's focused, and man, he's put together one whale of a DVD. Follow the corn, jackslash.com. Make sure to order it. So now that we're done with Sean, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Jim Leisure from the Spartan Speedway. We're going to talk about Spartan Speedway Sprint Cars. You're listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro, Engine Pro. Race teams, take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature when utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature win decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim Chassis, made in the USA. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ T.J. Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it.
Welcome back to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on racesontheweb.com. Our final guest tonight is the operator of the Spartan Speedway and came up with a unique concept this year. They ran non-wing sprint cars every other week on the quarter-mile paved oval, one of the few pavement non-wing, well, we'll call it semi-regular programs in the country, and the car count grew, and there was a lot of talk about it over the season. I would call it pretty good success. Jim Leisure joining us. Jim, congratulations on launching a division that seems to have a lot of buzz around it.
Yeah, you know, thank you. I appreciate it. And I don't hear all the buzz because we're always busy working and we never get in the right circles we need to be in. And but, you know, it really can't take very much credit. The only thing the only credit I get really is to this for listening to two or three people. They really thought it would be a success, and I had a lot of confidence in these people. It was Billy and Jimmy Heaney and Gary Fidoa, and Tommy Fidoa as well was a big part of it, and I just had a lot of confidence in these guys, and they seemed to, you know, I can judge sometimes, you have to be a judge of character in this industry, and, you know, they're all characters all right, but good characters, and I think they hit it spot on. I mean, we're very excited to come up with a good idea, although I really can't take all the credit.
Well, you know, you said, when did they come to you with the concept first? You mentioned Jim Heaney, Gary Fidoa, and some other people come to you. When did they first present this idea to you?
Well, it really started a couple years ago. And, you know, I get a lot of, as you can imagine, in my business, I get a lot of advice. And you listen to it all, and some of it piques your interest a little bit, and then you don't necessarily think about it then. It might just keep surfacing as time goes on, and then it came up two or three more times, and I still remember telling Heaney, I said, look, I'll tell you what I'll do. If you're that confident, I'll do it. And here's the deal. We have to have very few rules because we have Friday night racetrack. And the other thing is we have to start out at a scale that the track can stand, as far as purse. And, it carried on from there. The purse has grown and it's going to grow again next year. And, we've done everything we said we would do, and the drivers have been absolutely a pleasure to work with. It was a real breath of fresh air.
And you mentioned it's kind of a breath of fresh air. At one point during the season this year, did you kind of look at things and go, wow, this thing is really starting to click?
I think early on when I watched the chemistry between the drivers, I think they had a lot of respect for one another. And I thought that was somewhat of a signature of the way they would race one another and how confident they thought. I thought if we could continue to grow one or two cars at a time, we'd have it. I think to answer your question, I would say that really early on, I mean, I never lost the confidence, and these guys just kept telling me that this is, you know, we only had eight cars one time, and I'm like, but I never wanted to show like I was a little nervous, but the next time we turned around at 17, so I was like, yoo-hoo, now I better do a better job putting my schedule together next year, because we had some competition on that weekend, and so we lost some to the other track.
Yeah, but overall, the car counts grew over the year. One of the things that a lot of people were complimentary about was the choice of right rear tire. I'm sure your racers had some input on that, but how did you guys come about that hard right rear tire? It seemed to work out well for everybody.
Yeah, again, a little bit of luck and some research. The tire was affordable, and Hoosier stuff helped us with that tire. A driver that registered was able to buy the first tire or two at a discount, a considerable discount that Hoosier could pass on to us. We passed on to them. But the 55 was it was a little harder than the 48. And I would say that was more driver input, plus a little input from Hoosier, just confirmation from Hoosier. But that was driver input. The 48 was going to be the tight choice, but the 5 seemed a little tougher. Asking them to race without, and we started out better than we wanted to. And again, a little luck to listen to the driver and some input from Hoosier.
And some big changes to the track this year. You got a grandstand from Michigan International Speedway, and and the first thing I remarked when I walked into the facility for the practice was how clean everything was and how professional everything looked, especially with the aluminum grandstands and the breezeway you have back there. You have a beautiful facility there now at Spartan.
Well, you know, thank you. That's a huge compliment. Anybody can imagine, you know, what it looks like there at Big Night. And, you know, we have a good system. We have great people. And a lot of that cleanliness, and I talk about this at our driver's meeting. I typically don't talk too much about the race surface. That's Bill Lackey's job. But compliment the drivers each week on how they leave their pit stalls. And I'm constantly picking something up. I think as it turns out, everybody says, we might as well pick our stuff up or he's going to. So, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to the drivers for the way it looks. But, you know, it's an effort, but it's our business. It's a livelihood. We've made a huge commitment. We put the bleachers up. We had to stand back, you know, a day or two before I pulled the trigger on that. I had to look at, stand there, seemingly forever, and say, if I do this, we're a racetrack the rest of my life. There's no turning around. And you know, things were going okay, and I made a commitment. It's close to some other business I have, and it's kind of home to me. Excuse me. And then I never looked back. That's been such a great improvement, and the compliments from the general admission side and from the driver's standpoint, the commitment we've made has, I think, inspired them to also make a commitment.
And I think it's a great addition to the racetrack. And you mentioned the sprint cars are coming back next year. What changes might we see for the 2011 Spartan sprint cars?
I think, you know, we're going to probably stay in at 55. We might look at the 48. The only thing we could gain from that probably, we might lose, I don't want to lose any life on them, but there's a lot of cars with 48s, and of course, Roy's motivated to do things, anything that will increase car counts and make the comp at the show better for the people who just sit in those new grandstands. And the other thing is, I think a lot of the dirt cars would run with us off and on intermittently if they didn't have to do so much work on their car to get up to weight. So I think we may have to take a look at that. And another thing we'll be doing with them is including them in our harvest big show at the end of the year.
Ooh, that's a big
and
news, yeah.
Hopefully, I was excited about that.
Yeah, that'll be neat. That'll be a good showcase for the sprint cars there. And what was the grandstand's reaction? Because Spartan had open-wheel cars weekly like 30 years ago, but it's been primarily in my lifetime a stock car racetrack. What was the fan reaction to sprint car racing?
Very good. You know, that's an interesting question. When you take the pulse of the person in the grandstands, that's my report card. I mean, I can deal with all the drivers. We need each other, and we have to do what it takes to tolerate each other, make each other happy. But the people in the general admission, they let me know what's going on right now. And, you know, I walk down the aisle every once in a while, headed up the tower or something for whatever, and you know, I get a lot of thumbs up. I get great show. I also get the other stuff. And I think they needed some reprieve or some something to tell them that, you know, our late model division's been a little lighter than we like. We're doing some things to encourage. I just refused at this point in time to give up. I still want it as a division that's there as often as we can. And the people in the stands, when the late models aren't there, the people in the stands get a little antsy, some of them, a lot of them. But when we replaced the nights the lates are not there and we put the sprints there, the same, critics are happy. And they're like thumbs up and, hey, nice show and better car, because they're always counting the number of cars.
Mm-hmm.
I get a lot of people helping.
Towards the end of the year, they had to be happy because that car count went up. And, Jim, it was a great pleasure to work with you this year. We had a lot of fun going out there to cover the Spartan Sprint Car Series, and we look forward to doing more of your races in 2011.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the exposure this year. You know, that gave us a helping hand, a boost. We all need one periodically, and you did it, and we're grateful for that. You know, I wish I could give a shout out to all. We had 14 different drivers, and we had some surprise drivers, and we had a young girl and Jimmy Heaney won the championship, won his very first championship ever in 28 years of racing. So.
With his father's car, no less. Yeah, we're gonna have Jim as part of our Thanksgiving show because he's probably one of the best stories. Not to spoil the story for later in the year, but he actually won that with his late father's car that he purchased years ago, and you guys kind of hit the PR like lottery with Taylor Ferns there winning her first sprint car race. You had to be thinking, man, this thing, it's like it fell right in the place. I mean, it was unbelievable.
Well, yes, I know. We're very lucky and grateful, and I hope we can just keep it going. We'll continue to do on our end everything we can possibly do, you know, to keep it going. We're alive and we're happy and we're just excited for 2011. I'm usually I'm dead beat now, can't wait for vacation. I'm fired up. I'm talking to sponsors. I'm ready to go.
That's the kind of stuff we like to hear. Jim, thanks for taking time out with us and look forward to working with you again in 2011.
Thank you very much for your time.
All right. That's Jim Leisure, and that kicks off our racetrack renaissance. It's going to be a series. Every week we're going to talk to a promoter that we feel is doing a great job and is helping to forward the sport and move it forward. And Jim's one of those guys. If you haven't been out to Spartan Speedway, it's a little flat quarter-mile racetrack. Think of Anderson, no banking, with some up and downhill stuff going on. And an absolutely beautiful facility. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed. The one time I went there for a race this year, funny story, the wind was blowing probably 50 miles an hour. It was cold. And you would be hard-pressed to find a loose piece of paper or anything out of place at that facility. It was amazing. There was not stuff blown around. Everything was well-maintained. And it's, you can take your wife there or your significant other because it's clean. You don't have to be ashamed of everything there. And the racing was good. And it's, it's not a high-dollar deal. It's a kind of a neat little deal. It's a weekly, semi-weekly program, and it's really what the sport needed in this area. It has the right intentions. It doesn't try to be anything more than what it is, and it's good racing. And we look forward to going back to Spartan Speedway in 2011. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll wrap up this week's edition of the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular here on racesontheweb.com. Right on the wings of Goodyear.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a whole line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative components. For information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It's Noah Pro, Engine Pro.
Mm-hmm.
race teams. Take advantage of the 2010 Maximizer program courtesy of Maxim Chassis. Visit racemaxims.com and report any feature when utilizing a Maxim chassis on racemaxims.com within 3 days of the event, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate and a feature when decal. You will also be entered in a drawing for a free 2010 Maxim Racer kit. Maxim chassis, made in the USA. Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
T.J. Buffenbarger here for Goodyear Tires. When traveling to races all over the country, my car is equipped with Goodyear Triple Tread technology to give me great performance in all kinds of weather conditions. Goodyear is also the official tire of the World of Outlaws, All-Star Circuit of Champions, Knoxville Raceway, and the 50th Knoxville Nationals. When traveling to the racetrack, do it on the wings of Goodyear.
Welcome back here to the TJ Sideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com. To my buddy Gavin, I told you so. We'll explain in the Thanksgiving show what that means. But mentioned earlier this week, we're going to try to keep it positive. We've had just a pretty awful year in the sprint car world. Just too many really bad things happened to a lot of great people. And when the accident happened on Saturday with Shane Meal, I said, you know what, this is... You know, we'll give an update and everything, and we're going to give our best wishes to him, but we're going to try to keep it as positive as possible, because right now it's just been a really bad year for a lot of people, and it's starting to wind down, and I think there's still a lot of great things to happen, and Shane's coming around, and hopefully he makes a full recovery over time, and we'll be able to talk to him on the show. We were going to try to get him for our Thanksgiving show, because that's really one of the best stories of the year, and I haven't really talked or written much about Shane. I just kind of been waiting for that opportunity, waiting for the right time. A lot of people had already jumped on the story. I didn't really want to follow the bandwagon, but I want to take a little different angle on it for our Thanksgiving show. But that being said, I've followed it very closely over the past couple of years, ever since he decided to get into the open wheel race cars. And what really turned me around was when Tim Clawson, Brian Clawson's dad, gave him his personal endorsement. That was like a sign to me, like, this kid's going to be serious about this, and it's going to be okay. And sure enough, he's turned out to be one of the more exciting drivers to watch. Anytime he shows up at the racetrack, and had a chance to announce the race he was in at Berlin Raceway with the Silver Crown Series, and also saw a Sun Mercy USAC sprint car this year, and I was impressed. His dirt skills were improving and stuff, but the best news right now is he seems to be making forward progress, and that's the best thing we can hope for right now. Once again, entire Meal family and everyone that's hurting down there in Indianapolis area right now, it's grown very close to this young man. Hang in there. He's coming around, and hopefully he continues to do so. And that being said, it's another great edition of the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular in the books. We've got guests booked up through November at this point. We've got a couple more slots to fill, but some really neat things coming forward. We're going to have our Parade of Champions continuing with track and series champions. We're also going to have the Racetrack Renaissance continuing. We're going to try to bring a promoter on every week, if we can keep it up, through probably about March or so. And we're going to talk about, you know, the sport of racing and the promotion end of things. And maybe, hopefully we learn something about promoting the sport better. That being said, we're on the way out. And if you're listening to this live or on the podcast, thank you for tuning in tonight. And every Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we do this live. And you can also pick it up on iTunes, on demand, and download on TJSlideways.com. Thank you for listening, and good night.
You've been listening to the TJ Slideways Open Wheel Spectacular on racesontheweb.com. Thanks for tuning in, and come back next week for your open wheel racing fix.